The scripture reading this morning is taken. I'm looking in the bulletin, and by the way, I don't see a name there, and that means your name could be there next week, okay? Grace keeps sending messages out that we really do invite your joining in worship by reading. So I'm reading this morning, but it could be you. Why not you next Sunday? From Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 17. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, and so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Always be thankful. Let the message about Christ, in all its richness, fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father, through him to God the Father. We give our thanks through Jesus to the Father by the Spirit this morning for this reading from God's Word. Amen. Well, there we go. We've taken a trip over the last 2 weeks, and some of you may not have been able to be with us, but we've journeyed through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we've been looking at God's worship song, or a story, God's song. I think of this being something like a book with five chapters, or think of it like a song with five verses. This is God's dramatic musical, and he's acting it out. He's singing it out in heaven and on earth. That's what the scriptures show us. This incredible song, worship story of God. God's understanding, God's definition, as it were, of worship. This is what the Lord's about. But the question becomes, you know, we've gone through the Old Testament, gone through the New Testament. How does God's worship story connect with how we define and understand worship? And I don't think I'd be too far off in saying that, you know, all of us, we create a variety of meanings and definitions for ourselves as to what worship is. Like, there are some folks that, you know, if you're to do the association kind of thing, when they hear the word worship, do you know what they think of? They think of, oh, wonderful, we're going to get to sing the old hymns. Oh, not too many of you here. Okay. But there could be others. Oh, great, we can chuck the old hymns and we're going to sing all those contemporary worship songs and Zach, turn the volume up and blast the windows out, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are others who, when they hear that word worship, the association that they have is to candles and maybe clergy and different kinds of vestments, clothing and things like that. Some think of, when they hear that word worship, oh, yay or nay. It's going to be very formal, structured kinds of liturgies. Ooh, what a bad word. Or some say, what a great word, right? Others may say, oh, you know, away with all of that. We want it to be super informal. We want it to be casual. We want to be able to wear our beach shirts and sandals and bring our coffee in and drink it in the pews. You know, we have all of these definitions, associations, when we think of that word worship. Well, the question becomes, we've got God's understanding of worship. We have some of the ones that we create. I mean, how do they connect? How do they come together? Well, however they come together, okay, this is the main thing. This is the principal thing. This has got to stand out, be primary, that God's got to be at the center. The story, you see, is not about us. it's about God. It's not about our preferences. It's not even in that way about our definitions. God defines. God's at the heart of, start to finish, everything that we're going to say about worship starts with not about something about me, not about something about us, not even something about the community that we live in. It starts with saying God's at the center. God's going to be the one that we focus on. Even the time that we have right here this morning, this is God time, not George's time. It's not Ian's time. It's not your time. It's God's time right here this morning. So how does that get worked out? God has a bit of a different understanding sometimes of worship, that word, than I think I do, and maybe that some of us do. God sees worship in two spheres, if I can put it like that. God's not content to have worship be understood simply in terms of whatever it is we do or joining in with or part of on a Sunday morning. He wants us to have a bigger, larger definition of his song and his story of worship. And I just want to take you quickly back to the passage that I read to help us understand these two spheres of worship. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says this, "Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." That's not just whatever you do inside the four walls of this building on a Sunday morning. Whatever you do, I'm going to call that scattered worship. When you leave here this morning, where are you going, by the way? What's happening in your lives? Well, I know there's going to be a corn roast at 4 o'clock this afternoon. You'll be at Ben's place for some sweet corn, I hope, this afternoon. Where are you going to be tomorrow? What are you going to be doing tomorrow? I mean, how are you going to spend this week? What's the rest of the month? What's the month coming going to look like? You leave here this morning to go out into the world, and whatever you do, whatever you say, you're to do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your act of worship. Everything about your life and my life is to reveal to the world that we've got this connection. We've got this relationship with the Lord Jesus. Jesus is not just Lord of our lives inside the four walls of this building. Jesus is Lord over everything. And our lives, your life in every part, 24/7, is to be one where God is at the center. Everything happens with God from the center and moving out. It's all about your humble act of worship as you scatter from here this morning. But it's also about what I'm going to call gathered worship. In light of what I said about the first one, that worship is 24/7, it's being this representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, God at the center of your life, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Some of you, maybe not you, but maybe some of your friends just might say something like this, "Well, if that's what it's all about, then why bother showing up on Sunday? I mean, why do you do this Sunday thing in your life anyway? I mean, I'm a Christian. I'd much prefer to worship God in bed on Sunday morning." Someone going to move that motion? I can't even get it on the floor here. It doesn't have a mover, doesn't have a seconder. There may be others that are going to say, hey, listen, I only got a little bit of time left to squeeze out a round of golf on Sunday morning. I'm going to worship God in creation. Some might say something like that, or there might be some that are going to say, hey, listen, God's into family. All through the Bible, he's in the family, and Sunday morning is family time, and we're going to do a family activity on Sunday morning. We're going to worship God that way. I mean, do we seriously really need to have an active weekly time of gathered worship? How important is this? Does it really have any importance? Those are good questions. Well, you're probably not going to be surprised because you've heard earlier messages, I think, and through the summer, that we're to encourage each other not to miss the gathering together because God sees it as very important. And the reason for that, I get this. I get it for myself. I think I'm getting it more and more for, this church and for the church at large. We're profoundly forgetful people. We forget God's song, God's new song. We forget God's worship story. It's so easy, and believe me, it happens so quickly, for us to substitute God at the center of our lives so that I start taking center stage. Or maybe my family starts taking center stage. Or maybe my work starts taking, or education. Well, you can fill in the blank. But it's not God who's at the center. You know, what happens when we gather together? You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that we're to speak the truth in love to each other. And I think that's often been understood. I've understood it this way, that it's something that happens one-on-one, okay? You think there's something amiss and not right, so you want to come and speak the truth in love to me. Well, you can do that. That's not wrong. But when I understand that scripture in the Bible, I think it has to do with what happens here in gathered worship. We gather together week by week so that we can speak God's truth in love to each other as we sing and as we pray and as we give and as we come to the table like we will in 2 weeks' time. And everything that's going on, we're speaking God's truth in love to each other because we're forgetful people. We need to hear it again and again. You know, this past summer, we had powerful times here. I was away for four, but here for six of those 10 Sundays, and every one that I was here for, my heart was stirred and my life was really moved as people shared these encouraging words of God's presence and power in their lives. I think what was happening there, God's truth at work in their lives, was being spoken into my life in love. And my life changed. I know that because of how I heard numbers of people speaking, how in simple things they saw God at work. In hard and difficult times, God was there and providing for them. You know, I need help, you need help, we need each other's help. We're all to be committed to helping each other remember God's new song, God's worship story. Maybe, Sydney, can you put the PowerPoint that we have up on the screen now? I'm really grateful to Grace in the office. She's amazing. I just sort of have stuff in my head, and 5 minutes later, she's got it drawn up something like this. But our weekly times of gathered worship, like right now, they're meant to feed us, to nourish us, to strengthen us, to build us up, so that we are ready in the power of the Spirit to leave here and live our lives out in scattered worship to God the rest of the week. So you can see the screen up there, okay? The gathered worship and the arrows on the right side coming down. That's what happens here. We leave here to offer our scattered worship wherever we go to God through this week. But you know, the other side of that coin is that our scattered worship, we're meant to bring that here, Sunday by Sunday, as we gather together. You know, all of the joys and the sorrows, all of the happiness and the heartache, all of the glory that there can be, God alive in this world, but also all of the grief there is, the splendor, the struggle, everything that's going on 24/7 in scattered worship, we bring to our gathered worship. Let me put it this way. Everything that happens out there is meant to come in here. Hear me now. This is not a holy huddle. This is not our escape. This is not our safe harbor from that wicked world. We bring out there in here, and we work it out. You know, liturgy simply means the work of the people. We work it out in here. As we sing, we pray, we give, we eat, we drink, we serve, we bless each other. Now, that said, okay, what happens in here is supposed to go out there. Are you with me, Anna? We have to have both scattered and gathered worship. One without the other is deeply deficient, and one that gets elevated above the other, and that can often happen, is missing the mark. Okay, Thanks, Sydney. I'm going to go back to whatever we call this, clicker, remote, whatever, because I just want now to focus in at the end here on our times of gathered worship, what happens here weekly as we gather together with that commitment to come. Our gathered worship here is, first of all, for God. When we come together, that's for God. I like the song. I'm not speaking badly of the song, but, you know, go now in peace. You know, we sing that part of it, God's watching from above. Well, you know, that has sort of a connotation that God's removed, you know, someplace up there, but he's not. He's not watching us from afar, from high above. God is in the house. I mean, Jesus gave us a promise. Wherever two or three are gathered, what happens? God shows up. God's here. And in gathering together, we don't have to go through all kinds of spiritual contortions and pleading. Our gathered worship is for the God, the living God, who's right here. You know, Sunday morning, we're not making a Skype call to God. Sort of, you know, put his picture up on the screen because he's somewhere. He's here. I mean, that changes everything. When we gather to worship, that sense that God is here and that God in his presence, here's what really changes it, is that God's pleased with us. That God the Father is singing over us and Jesus is actively interceding and praying for us and that the Spirit of God is intentionally at work in us. And to the God who deeply loves and cherishes us, we humbly come week by week to give this God our worship. Our gathered worship is for God. But it's also for the community of faith. What happens here is not... I'm guilty of this, okay? And this is not wrong, or this is not bad, but I can be standing here and I just close my eyes. And I'm having this wonderful, personal experience of, what? That's okay. But what happens here is for the community of faith. This is time for you and for me to sing to each other, to pray for each other, to speak God's truth in love into the lives of one another, to listen deeply to each other, to care for, to support, to serve each other. What this is this is not... I come here to get a personal refresher with God. This is time for me to come here to be built up in the community of faith. This is time for me to come here to be part of that building up of you. We're here when we gather for each other. Finally, lastly, the worship team, or the praise team, they can come forward and just get ready. I'll try and do this reasonably quickly. Our gathered worship, when we come together on Sunday mornings, it's for the wider community. I came across a wonderful tweet. Yeah, I look at Twitter. I even have an account. I haven't started tweeting yet, but I read one by Leonard Sweet, very well-known worship person in the States. And here's what he tweeted. He said, "When we enter worship, we don't leave the world behind, but we engage the world on a higher level." Whoa. There's truth in that. You know, there are some, maybe amongst your own family and friends, who think that when we gather for worship, that's our thing. But it's largely irrelevant to the world that we live in. That, you know, the time that we have here, it's just a waste. I mean, if you're into it, go for it. But, you know, who really needs it? Well, what happens here is no waste. What happens here is that our time together, it's a proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord over everything. This gathered worship is a celebration of God's promise and commitment in Jesus Christ to make everything new in your life and family, in this community, in the Middle East, in Kenya, and in Pakistan. We're declaring that. We're proclaiming that here. We take the life of the world that we live in, and we lift it up We raise it up to another level that says, God, let your kingdom come. The kingdom of God is here, Jesus says. It's here. And everything is changing. And God is singing this new song. God is doing this new thing. What happens here is our invitation. Maybe they're not listening all that much, but it's still our invitation to a community and a world that's in need. And that's really, truly, when you ask, looking for something more, we're saying, in our commitment to gather weekly, in gathered worship, it's here. It's come. It's here. And then we scatter. And out we go. It's here. Out we go. We carry with us the grace of God, the peace of God, the hope of God, the joy of God, the love of God. Out we go. And we say, it's here. The kingdom is here. We declare it here. And we go out to live it there. It's here. Pray with me, and then we're going to sing together. Oh, God, let this grip me afresh and anew and take hold of all of us, Lord, collectively here this morning, that what you're purposing and planning to do, it's not simply for some future day. Oh, it's going to be climatic when that day comes, but it's here, it's now. And incredibly, we're to be representatives of it, of what Jesus, the King, is doing. Help us, Lord God, not to forget the coming together, the gathering to worship. Help us, Lord, not to neglect the scattering to worship as your representatives. So, mighty God, as we sing this last song, ready us and send us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.